CTV.
Hi, everybody. I'm not at the bottom of the edge or the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula today. I am, in fact, at my sister's house in Canton, Ohio. I told you from the airport that my kid had a kid, and that kid's birthday, his first birthday, is tomorrow. So I came up here for that. That kid's name is Theo. Cute baby. Yeah, everybody says that, but this kid actually is cute. I'm going to talk to you today about the generations of the eons of the eons. Ephesians 3:21. Interesting phrase. No, I misquoted it. This is important. It's all the generations of the eon of the eons. Very distinct and important language. So I promise you to talk about this. Several of us talked about it at the Richmond Conference. In fact, I brought it up and I talked to several people about it at dinner time, and it excited the heck out of me. I don't think I touched my food because I was too busy talking about all the generations of the eon of the eons, of the final eon. But before I do that, there's a bunch of photographs on the wall here, so I thought I would give you a quick tour of my family. I don't get to do this very often. These are my ancestors, my forebears. Some of these people I never met, but I think you might find this interesting. If you don't, you're doomed to endure it. So, oh, there's my sister. That's Kelly. How old is she there? I don't know. How old would you say she is? You never talk about a woman's age, do you? Well, let's look at the year. 1965. All right, anyway, she was cute. This is a picture of my grandmother. I've never met my grandmother. That's my grandmother, I do believe. Now, I saw a picture of a woman maybe 5 or 6 years ago. It was from the late 1800s, early 1900s. This woman was really beautiful and attractive. I didn't know who it was. And I think I was with my mom at the time. I said, wow, this lady is hot. Who is this? That's your grandmother. What? Could not believe it. I didn't know it was my grandmother. I was lusting after my grandmother. I didn't know. I didn't recant either. I mean, what are you going to do? I never did meet my mother's father or her mother because they both had the audacity to die before I was born. So anyway, that's my hot grandma right there. But later pictures of her are really attractive. This is my dad's dad and mother, my grandpa and my grandma. Now, Beulah, I only knew her maybe till I was 6 or 7. She died early, and my grandpa was around till I was about 10. Yeah, this is my dad and my sister, Kelly. I think the occasion was my surprise 30th birthday party. Look at this. This is me, my wife Marcia, and my oldest son Gabe. You might have heard me refer to Marcia as Melody because I changed her name in some of my early writings, you know, just to protect her privacy a little bit. Now, I don't care. So this is my oldest son Gabe graduating from high school. Aren't we a cute couple? I think so. This is my grandfather again. He was married to the hot lady. I never met him either. And there's the hot lady. And there's my Uncle Jack. I met him. Not sure how he fits into the picture, but that's Uncle Jack. Oh, look at this group. This is that's my mom, my dad. That's me in the stroller right down there. Sorry, I keep moving this around. See that kid? That's me in the stroller. Yeah, my dad's got me in the stroller. That's my Uncle Bob. Here you go. This is my dad's brothers. That's my dad, that little baby. That's my Uncle Bob. That's my Uncle Lloyd. That's my Uncle Jim. Never met Lloyd. As a kid, he used to run away to the circus all the time. I mean, he would jump the circus car. Age 12, 13, he'd run off with the circus. And his dad, my grandfather, had to always go after him and fetch him. He ended up marrying the sheep-haired woman at the circus, one of the circus freaks on the sideshow. He married the sheep-haired woman. You can't make this up. I have show business in my blood. Speaking of what, just my Uncle Jim. He ended up being gay. Cute kid, though. Very talented. He wrote television movies for Katharine Hepburn and Liza Minnelli. He started writing with the soap operas. I don't know if you remember the soap opera in the 60s called The Secret Storm. That's where he got his writing debut. So between this Uncle Jim and this Uncle Lloyd, there's some real writing talent there. I get my writing talent from them. But my dad, he was quite the... He had the touch with the pen as well. He liked to write poetry. I'm not aware whether my Uncle Bob ever wrote anything, but he was a humble soul, a sweet guy. Look at that, just a sweet guy. These two, forget it. I don't know, man. These guys had the touch of genius. And my dad was the best dad there ever was. That's my dad down there. Look at this. This is my mom and dad back when they moved into their first house. My mom's name was Martha. All these people I'm showing you are dead. My mom and dad are both dead. I think this is Mount Clemens, Michigan, where my mom and dad got their first house. My dad's family's dead. Here's a lovely picture of my mother. Well, of course she's lovely. She's the offspring of the hot woman. That's my mom. Look at my dad in the Korean War. Look at this guy. He is watching out for enemy planes, watching out for the Japs, probably. The Japs fight in the Korean War? I don't know. You wonder why I'm so cool? This is why. This is why. Here's my mom and dad. Now you know why I'm so cool. Look at that. Are these people cool? Jack and Martha. Look at my dad's got the cigarette. Smoked all his life. Lung cancer ended up killing. Look at my mom's legs. My mom's got nice legs. My dad used to say, I said, what attracted you to mom? First thing you say, her legs. Yeah, you can see right there. It's my mom. Got good legs. I have good legs too. It's probably all because of my mom. I got to show you this. This is my sister and me. Look at us. Aren't we adorable? This was like 1965. Cute as can be. And I need to show you another picture of my family. Then we'll get down to the scriptures. You're in for a real treat now, ladies and gentlemen, because look at this. My family, 1965. There we are. See if I can get rid of that glare. Yeah. Yeah. Look at these people. Stupid glare. This is my dad. Look how strong he is. Look how big and strong he is, towering over his family. What a patriarch. What an epic man. Looks like Hercules. Never mistreated me ever. Raised me like a champ. A man who always respected women. An honorable man. Taught me right things. Taught me good from bad. Disciplined me with love and intelligence. Always worked his entire life. Supported his family. God bless that man right there. That's my dad. This is my mom. Played games with us. Was always involved with every activity at school that we had. When I was in the band, she drove me to band practice. I was a drummer. She always hauled my drums around for me, even in high school when I played the drum set. She taught me how to play card games. She was like, she would be like on the poker circuit today. My mom liked to have fun. Yeah, she was a Catholic, but only one day a week. The rest of the week, she was a normal. Very sweet lady, you know. Didn't understand the evangel, but, you know, I'll see her eventually. This woman bore me. Oh, my God. I'm so thankful for her and her kindness and her love. This is my beautiful sister, Kelly, who is the president of Stark and Hartman. Look how sweet she is. She's never lost it. Look at those bangs. Look at those bangs. A happy kid. She's still happy. My only sibling. That's her. And then you got this guy here wearing the suit. Let's start here with a nice relaxed hand. I think the photographer told me to put my hand on that chair there. I got my spiffiest jacket. And I'm dwarfed by my father. But I'm a loved kid right there. I'm in between the kitchen and the living room, and I had such an idyllic childhood, I can't even tell you. The best part of my day was when the school bus came to take us the hell away from school and get me back home, because home was the happiest place in the world, and that's because of these these people. You see that chair my mom's sitting on there? My sister has that chair here. This is the same chair right there. She has it covered. But yeah, ought to be in a museum. Ought to be in a frickin' museum. My beautiful family, circa 1965. Talk about hot. Look at my wife. Look at that woman. Holy mackerel. Frickin' beautiful. There's me. That's my son Luke. My son Paul. My son Gay. Look how ruggedy. Rugged he is. Yes, sir. Look at that. I gotta show you this because you'll probably laugh. This is my sister and me in my apartment. This is probably 1981. Yeah, I'm a little thin there. I'm being funny for the camera, but look at my sister. She's gorgeous. The only reason I had friends is because everybody wanted to date my sister. If you can imagine this, and I think you can because you're pretty smart people, there are going to be generations born in the future two eons who will never know what mortality is. They will continue to live. They won't necessarily be immortal, but as in the case of the fifth eon, they will be kept alive continuously by eating the leaves from the tree of life in the city of God on that new earth. Where do I get this from? I'm not making this up. How can you? It's Ephesians 3:21. To him be glory in the ecclesia and in Christ Jesus for all the generations of the eon of the eons. Amen. Generations. That's why I thought of my family here. I'm going to show you some of my family. The generations. All the generations of the eon of the eons. The eon of the eons is specific language. Yes, the King James says forever and ever. To God be glory forever and ever. The NASB says forever and ever. The new incoherent version, forever and ever. These versions are robbing you of the precise language of a phrase like the eon of the eons, because the Greek is so fine, so well-tuned, so descriptive that sometimes it says the eons of the eons, plural and plural. Sometimes it says the eon of the eons, a singular with a plural. Sometimes it says the eon of the eon, a singular with a singular. Why does it do this? Because in each case, we're looking at a different combination of eons. But from the common translations, you don't even get the idea that there are eons, because they use the insane phrase forever and ever. If forever means eternity, what does and ever mean? Eternity and then some? It's madness. But few people stop to think about it. What is with these generations? I believe there is going to be procreation on the new earth. Let's just talk specifically about the new earth. We know that there's an eon following this current wicked eon. It's the kingdom eon. It lasts 1,000 years. Death will be limited, but it will still be going on. Yes, people will live a long time, like they did back in the early days in the Garden of Eden, hundreds of years. In one place it says a man who dies at 100 will be considered but a youth. Yeah. What happened to that guy? He died young. Ah, hate it when they die young. I think guy's 105. He died young. That's how it's going to be during the millennium. And just when you think, wow, that's great, you get to the eon of the eons, the last eon, the greatest of all the eons, just like the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the greatest Lord of all the Lords, the greatest King of all the Kings. This is the greatest eon of all the eons. You get to that. And there's no death. Death is segregated completely. Yeah, you still got to have tombs in the millennium. I was shocked when I heard that. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was heaven. No, it's the kingdom of the heavens. It's called, it's heavenly in character, but its location is right on the earth. This earth will be regenerated. Not remade, regenerated. So, that eon of the eons, death will be segregated. Death will be segregated in the lake of fire. There will be no death at all, because, as I said earlier, the citizens of that wonderful place will be eating of the fruit of the leaves of the tree of life and eating of the fruit also. But what shocked me, and I mentioned this at the conference, is that people are going to be born. People are going to come into being in that wonderful place, and they're going to be coming into being on the new earth. And believe me, labor's not going to be like today. It's not going to be, scream, baby. No, it's going to be like, oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. Oh, it looks like triplets. No. I mean, yes, it will be like that. Yeah,
It'll be like a sneeze. Ha-choo! Oh, quadruplets. Mm-hmm. All came out at once. That'd be perfect. Not gonna hurt at all. But these kids, they're gonna grow up not knowing what went before. And this is why we are, it's so epic that we live during this time. Can you imagine, let's say, I was telling this to people at the conference. This is why I wasn't eating my food. I'm saying, can you imagine what if, like, George Washington walked into this room right now? I'm not talking about a guy dressed like George Washington. No, I'm talking about George Washington, the father of our country, walked in this room. We'd be all like, oh my God, he's from a different era. Right? Or what if Moses walked in? Well, we don't know anything about that era, so they could really come and tell us, and none of us would be chattering at them. We would be asking them questions, drawing information from that time gone by. Folks, there's going to come a time where we will be those who will be known as the ancient ones. Now, we're going to be in the celestial realm. We're going to be running the universe. We're going to have places of allotment, many of us. We're all going to be members of the body of Christ, but some of us will have an allotment. But even the lowest member of the body of Christ is far above all principalities and powers in the celestial realms. You better believe it. Can't make this up either. I'm telling you the truth. Seated among the celestials, we are at the right hand of God. And so, but remember I told you, the lower you go, the higher you go. Jesus Christ went to the depths of degradation at the cross in the lowest parts of the earth. Because of that, he's exalted way beyond the exaltation he had even when he had with his Father before the earth was. And we haven't gone to that quite the depths he did, but yeah, compared to these munchkins born in the new earth, these little curtain crawlers and crumb crunchers, we have been through the ringer. We're going to be known as the ancient ones. Like, we came through death. You know how it is? You're trying to tell your kids today, your kids can't believe a time without cell phones. They absolutely can't believe. Like, you guys lived without cell phones? Yeah, and we had phones that we had to... We had to dial them. And they can't understand it. They can't even fathom a world without the internet. And so they're really, tell us more about when you had to, like, put your finger in holes to dial, talk to somebody. Tell us more. Can you imagine? These kids aren't going to know what death is. They're not going to understand. And they're going to be told stories like, there was a time when people died. What's death? What do you mean die? What's died? They lost their life. What does it mean to lose their life? Honestly, they're not going to know. Only in the history books. And it will be told them. And they'll be in shock. Like, you mean people used to go through that? Gather around, my young ones. Even more than this. They will count it as sheep for slaughter. And then they will be regaled with tales of our humiliation and our woes and our having colds and the flu. What's the flu? They will have no idea what the flu is. They'll have no idea what it means to fall down, to be injured, to be dying, to cry. Crying, what's that? And they'll show pictures of people with water coming out of their eyes. What's that water? That's a tear. Seriously, they're not going to know. And then the special day. They're going to be on announcement, and somebody's going to say, and now one of them is coming to speak to you. And it'll be like, boop, 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 boop. It will be, you talk about the limo treatment. Talk about an entourage. There will be an announcement, and then one of us. And we're holy. We are august. We are venerated and esteemed because we came from death. And I can't tell you how valuable that's going to be in that day. It carries weight to have gone through what we're going through. This carries weight. We think everybody goes through it. No, there's going to be generations that will not go through it, even on the millennial earth. They're not going through nearly what we're going through, but during the eon of the eons and the generations that come into being on that new earth, they're gonna be starstruck. And I'm telling you, you talk about cachet, you talk about your reputation preceding you. I mean, just just, it's hard to describe how they're going to feel. I mean, they're going to want, like, can I touch you? Can I touch you? If Jesus came, just like Jesus, if Jesus came, like, this is the one that was crucified. We're actually going to see him, okay? And we'll be like that with him. Oh, my God, can I touch you? I mean, we're going to see his actual nail prints. I mean, he went through something we'll never be called upon to go through. And we will be toward him like these future generations will be to us. Our experience will be laden with awe and purpose and just depth of experience that they don't know. They're going to be lightweights. They're going to be a bunch of Tinkerbells compared to us. They'll be flitting around. And they want to know if they can talk to us and touch us. And this will be due to God's favor of us. He's doing all this for you, not to you. That should be the bottom line here. God is doing this for you, not to you, to bring you to a place of glory that you cannot even now imagine. That you, dream as you might, can never even touch the fringe of the glory, the honor, and the respect that will be given to us in the eon of the eons and beyond. Why? Because it delights God to do so.